We're back on Talk Zone for more Our Global Hope, world-changing leadership talk with your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, and we're back with our second guest of the hour, Dr. Pemberton Ford, who is the founder of the development and the development executive for the Cambridge-based Center for Applied Research in Human Trafficking, a multidisciplinary forum for the development of expertise in counter-trafficking across several streams of trafficking, which are currently extant in the UK and recognized by the UN as gross violations of human rights. We've been talking in the previous segments with Mr. Francis Seeley, also of London, and now we're going to invite a true expert in the area of human trafficking to share with us. Welcome, Dr. Ford, to our program.
Hey, thank you very much, Henrik. Good to be here.
Good to have you on. Dr. Ford, I'd like to ask you to share with our listeners some of the scope of human trafficking as a problem in our world and why it is so important for people to get clued into the tragedy that it is for millions of people.
Well, yeah, it's truly a tragedy, and it takes multiple forms. Trafficking comes as an exploitation, a gross exploitation of people's lives, and it can occur around labor exploitation, trafficking for labor exploitation, and that affects millions of people across the globe, particularly in the developing and the underdeveloped worlds, but also in what we like to see as our developed world. And really it's a tragedy that there should be such gross exploitation of people's lives in labor exploitation through trafficking in the world today. There's also a trafficking for sexual exploitation, which I think more people are aware of as a form of trafficking. And again, I mean, this is truly horrendous. The numbers are staggering, and they range from a minimum estimate of about 12 million people to upwards to 27 million. This is, you know, just unfathomable numbers, really, to get our minds around. I mean, my heart was broken the first time I met a woman who had been trafficked. I simply could not credit that this was happening in the back end of the second millennium. And it's with us in the third millennium. And really, we want a world where this doesn't occur any longer, but we're going to have to do some pretty hard work on shaking things up so that it doesn't. So you've got labor exploitation, you've got trafficking for sexual exploitation, then you've got trafficking for the exploitation of children's lives, and that can happen through moving them around so that they participate in begging rings. Of course, the money doesn't go to them. The money is all sifted out to those who exploit. Or here in the UK, we have children being moved around for social security scams, exploiting the money available through our welfare payments. You have exploitation of children in pornography, and that is very widespread and very pernicious and difficult to really get hold of what the numbers are and quite how it's being executed, because these youngsters are moved around, and of course the whole internet age has made it much more easy for images to be replicated and reproduced across a global network of those who are, quite frankly, are paedophiles if they're viewing any of those sorts of images. And some of those children, of course, are never heard of again. They die through the processes of the gross pornography that is meted out on them. And you also have trafficking for domestic servitude, which again, it's Dickensian that we could have a situation where mostly women, but some young men are brought into people's homes for working in those domestic environments. They're held under really what is house arrest, their passports and their papers taken away from them, terrible threats on them made if they are they want to go outside and enjoy the freedom that we take for granted. And that's not permitted to them, and they're really enslaved. And getting at the bottom of that one is really hard too, because in the domestic space, all sorts of things can happen, and it's we need to be able to shed a light on that one and get that one properly exposed. And then finally, you've got trafficking for the transplantation and the sale of organs. And again, there isn't a huge amount of research on quite what is happening here or where the worst manifestations of that form of trafficking are. So as you can see, Henrik, it's quite a wide array of trafficking exploitation that can take place. And inside each one of those sectors, it becomes extremely complicated because there are many nations involved in it. The organized crime networks that facilitate and exploit the people who get caught in these networks are frequently international as well. They're brokered between nations. They're not always run out from just one particular nation. There's deals being made all the time that sort of mirror our UN negotiations between regular governments. So there's these sort of international networks of those who would exploit others and are happy to make material gain from their misery.
Dr. Ford, I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about your center and why you feel it's so important to generate a center of research that is international.
Well, trafficking is an international blight. I'd almost call it a virus inside what otherwise could be quite a healthy body internationally. We need a center which is internationally framed so that international research, international practitioners from different nations, both nations of source and nations of demand, which mainly the countries of the developed world are. We're mainly countries of demand rather than source. Practitioners and third sector, what we call third sector, which is the area of those who are involved in charitable or voluntary organizations who frequently do some of the best work on the ground, can come together and look at different aspects of this really complex phenomenon and start trying to make inroads into both understanding quite how the trafficking offences take place, whether there's good practice from different countries or different groups within countries that could be used and deployed to other countries or to other agencies to fight trafficking. And of course, we need to be able to really bottom out some of the statistics on what is really going on in terms of size and scale. And unless we have specific research centres that focus in on this, we're not going to be able to really make longer proactive headway against what, as I say, has become a virus within the global polity.
I'm assuming that you would agree with me that the vital link between the phenomenon of human trafficking and the research center that you're trying to build there at Cambridge University is that there's a legitimation link with leadership around the world, that if leaders of different countries and leaders of various organizations are not standing up with outrage against this phenomenon, then there's really a lack of moral authority that they have to lead. Can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, Henrik, that there have been major leadership movements forward against human trafficking. I think the most outstanding one I'd mention on this one is the Palermo Protocol from the United Nations that was inspired in 2000 and really came into force in 2002 and has informed most of the countries of the world in terms of both their understanding and the conceptualization of what trafficking is and some of the responses that are required from any country that signs in and ratifies that protocol. The US has been pretty proactive in terms of creating a guidelines for where different countries are seen to be performing on trafficking and countering trafficking through what's called the TIP report, that is the Trafficking in Persons report that's promulgated every year. I mean, there are those who are critical about the TIP reports in as much as they think that it can be used as a bit of a tool against countries who the US isn't feeling particularly friendly towards at any particular time, and that it could be used in a rather partisan manner. But at least it's a serious attempt at saying we take very responsibly and soberly the estimates of what is going on inside different nations of the world vis-a-vis both the governments and the enforcement cultures against trafficking, and also in terms of what's going on in terms of demand culture in countries of demand. So there are in pockets those who are taking leadership stances about this. The day to pay attention internationally on human trafficking again. That's a very important initiative. But this virus affects so much of the underside, really, of our international relations. It's like an alternative international trade market that's there, that I think every national government needs to be very clear that it makes as part of its overall decade objectives and each year's objectives a manifesto and a form of action that is really going to address trafficking in all its forms. And part of the problem, of course, is our huge inequalities across the world of poverty and wealth, and those who are excluded and those who are included as the power brokers. And we live in a world of serious inequalities, and that does need addressing. However, having said that, trafficking occurs because in the end, somebody somewhere is prepared to purchase somebody off somebody else, and they know that actually that is happening. At one level, they know that is happening. And it's that sort of blindness of moral accountability, personal accountability at the very end stages, that I think in terms of countries of the developed world, we really need to take very seriously indeed and say, well, you know, we have the vote. We have, many of us, a level of real freedom, even if financially it's constrained at present. There is absolutely no justification ever to disrespect another human being by seeking to undermine their full humanity by participating and being part of the purchasing culture of those who are trafficked. And actually, that is a situation that some people within demand countries, you know, find themselves in. And I find that extraordinary. And we do need a political voice to speak out against that culture, as well as pointing the finger. You know, it's easy to point the finger at countries of source and say, oh, well, there's corruption there, or there's, you know, tremendous poverty or whatever. Yes, absolutely, and that needs addressing. But we need to look at all of the business cycle of trafficking.
Well, Dr. Ford, I want to thank you for being part of our show today. Dr. Ford is a senior research associate at the Center of African Studies at the University of Cambridge. She's written dozens of articles on trafficking and been involved with the highest levels of international policing as a consultant. And we just are so grateful for you being here. Listeners, as we go to our third and final break, I want to again remind you that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with Mr. Francis Seeley for more world-changing leadership talk.